2. HMS Armach 58, Gulf of Taro, and Imperial Palace, Tiraeth, Kingdom of Chisholm.
Where to find us when he wants us?
Brian Lock Island snorted as the parasite, perched on Admiral General Harper's shoulder, transmitted his conversation to him in real time.
Knowing where to find you's never been the problem, he muttered in the general direction of Harper's fleet, and heard someone else's snort, even harsher than his own, in his earplug.
True, Caleb Armach said from Prince Tymon's suite in snowy Chisholm. At the moment, he was the next best thing to 8,000 miles away from, and 10 hours behind, Lock Island's flagship.
I only wish it was me who knew where to find him, or get to him anyway, he added.
What?
Lock Island smiled thinly, out over another stretch of the blue water Harper was even then considering from his own flagship.
Should I take that to indicate a certain lack of confidence in the command team you do have on the spot, Your Majesty?
Of course not. Caleb chuckled at the humor in his cousin's voice, but his own tone turned considerably more serious. If I can't be there myself, I can't think of any two people I'd rather have standing in for me. It's just that I hate asking it of you and the men when I can't be there with you.
I understand, Lock Island said quietly, and he did.
Just as he understood that being able to watch everything happen, even as it did, was going to make things infinitely worse for his Emperor and Empress.
We'll be praying for you, Brian, Charlian said softly, as if she'd read his mind across all those weary miles of stormy salt water.
Thank you, Lock Island smiled again whimsically. It can't hurt, anyway.
Actually, I think it might help a great deal, Michael Stainer said from his office in his Telesburg Palace. Of course, it's my job to think that way, I suppose.
Lock Island could almost see the twinkle in the Archbishop's eye, and he shook his head. There was a curious parallelism with his adversary, he reflected. Both of them were standing on the sternwalks of their flagships, looking east, thinking and planning. Unlike Harper, however, Lock Island knew there were barely 50 miles of water between those two flagships. He knew exactly what his enemy's formation was, and he'd sat in invisibly when Harper and Tybald discussed the course they intended to steer. As the Admiral General said, he knew exactly where to find him, and exactly what he'd face when he did.
The one thing I don't know is what's going to happen when I do. Show me the map, Owl, he requested.
Yes, High Admiral, the AI said, and a chart of the Gulf of Taro and surrounding land masses projected itself across Lock Island's contact lenses. It hadn't changed since the last time he'd checked, but he gazed thoughtfully at the icon representing Rockpoint's ships. They were coming up fast from the southeast under every stitch of canvas, and his eyebrows rose as he glanced at the information sidebars Owl updated continuously. Those had changed, at least a little, and he frowned as he contemplated the new data. The wind had strengthened more, or at least more rapidly, for Rockpoint's ships than originally projected. Owl's present estimate was that the 12 galleons would arrive almost 4 hours earlier than projected, and that meant...
I wonder, the High Admiral murmured out loud. You wonder what?
There was something remarkably like suspicion in Caleb's voice, and Lock Island smiled.
Dominic's going to get here sooner than I'd anticipated, he replied. And that weather front's moving in from the east more quickly than anticipated as well. If the current projections hold up, and if Dominic and I were to shift our rendezvous point a few miles, I think we might be able to come in right on the front's heels.
That, Caleb said, in the tone of a man whose suspicions have just been confirmed, sounds like a really bad idea. Sailing into the middle of a fleet that outnumbers you 4-1 in the middle of the night, in the rain, strikes me as a wonderful recipe for disaster.